Okay, what we're doing this afternoon is we're starting on a whole new sugya related to Bishul, and very, very important. So till now we've done Simon Shin Yud Chet, which deals really with the definition of what Bishul is, and essentially what would constitute Bishul on Shabbat. We're now going to go back to Reish Nun Gimel, and Reish Nun Daled and Reish Nun Zayin, which deal with situations where there's not actually any Bishul being done on Shabbat, but nevertheless, there can still be an Issa of heating up food, sometimes even before Shabbat. We're going to see how it'll be a case where you're not over on Bishul, but because in some cases, or many of the cases we're talking about, you're not actually doing anything on Shabbat. Everything was put into place before Shabbat. Nevertheless, for reasons that we'll see, it's going to be prohibited to do these, to arrange the food in this way. And it's going to come into deal with all the questions of leaving food on the stovetop before Shabbat comes in, the circumstances in which you need a blech, the din of hachzara, putting stuff back on the stove on Shabbat. Hatzmana we'll get to. Hatzmana we'll also deal with. But we've got a lot to cover before we deal with Hatzmana. So today, I don't really anticipate getting to the Shulchan Aruch. We might, but so that's not really my intention. Really, I want to deal with the sugya in the Gemara and the Rishonim, and then on Tuesday when we have the share, everything will fall into place nicely with the Shulchan Aruch, I hope. So we're going to start at the beginning of the third Perek, Perek Kira, which is the Gemara on Taf Lamed Vav Amud Bet. And really we've got two Daf in the Gemara, which tries to resolve a particular issue. We're just going to look at one or two of the key points. So let's start off with the Mishnah. Kira shesikua b'kashu v'gvava. If you've got a stove, shesikua, which was fueled with kash u'gvava. Kash is bits of straw, and gvava is stubble from the field. So bits of straw. Not tinuma leha tavshil. You can put a tavshil onto it. You can put a pot of food onto it. Now the point is, kashu gvava, this is just bits of straw. It's never going, you're never going to have a particularly hot stove if it's fueled just by kashu gvava, because
the wood, basically. When you say kashu gvava, he wants to tell us, he's hinting that if you would have put it with wood.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. Can I suggest, as I often say, hold off question, any question for the first 20 minutes, okay? Yes. Then we'll see, we might well cover the issues. So not to allow tavshil, but gefet uve eitzim, which immediately answers your question. If you're using gefet or eitzim, so then lo yitain ad shigrof or ad shitain et ha'efer. You can't put anything on the stove until you either rake out the stove or you put efer, you put ashes onto the fuel. Look at Rashi, gevava. Sorry, gefet. Solet shel shum shemin shotzi shumnan. So you've got sesame seeds. You've squeezed them to get the extract the oil, and now you've just got the seeds left. And we know what eitzim is wood. So these will burn for much longer and at a much higher temperature. So it's a much better cooking experience there. So you can't put, if you've fueled your stove with these things, you can't put anything onto the stove. Beit Shammai omrim chamin aval lo tavshil. Now Beit Shammai says, even where we say that you can put things onto the stove, we're talking about only hot water, but not tavshil. Look at Rashi again. Beit Shammai omrim notina leha chamin achashe garfa. After you've raked out the stove, if you were heating it with wood, so you can put on hot water. To lot tsriche levishule, you don't really need to cook the water; it's perfectly drinkable without heating it up. Deleka lemigzar shema yechate. Now, this is going to be one of our key considerations as we go through the sugya, that because you're not worried that perhaps you'll come to stoke the stove. So if it doesn't get hot enough, no, it doesn't get hot enough, it's not the end of the world. Avalo tavshil, but you can't put a tavshil on, according to Beit Shammai. Denichale bishule, you want it to cook, you got your cholent, you want it, you know, it's half cooked and you want it to cook fully. Va'ati lichituye, and we're worried that you'll stoke the embers. Alternatively, it might just be a problem of mechzeik and mevashel. Beit Hillel say there's no difference between chamin and tavshil. Beit Shammai omrim not in avalo machazirin. Beit Shammai say that these things you can take off the stove on Shabbat, but there's no way that you can put them back. Af machazirin. There are certain circumstances when you can even put it back. I'm looking at Rashi there, hol v'garuf, seeing as it's been scraped out already. Now, if we look at the Tosfot dibur hamatchil lo yitein ad sheyigrof. So we said if it's fueled with something which, with stubble, you can put the food on. If it's fueled with wood, you can't unless you've scraped out raked out the stove. And we need to understand what raking out the stove achieves. So Rashi says, Tosfot says, Pirish Bekuntras, Mishum Tosefet Hevel. So he says that the way that that Rashi understands it, which is not so straight in the Rashi that we've seen on the Mishnah, but the way that Rashi does say ad sheyigrof. If you look back to the Rashi, so ad sheyigrof hagchalim mishum demosif hevel. This is the point, that it's very hot. If you've got a stove which is fueled by wood, it's going to be very, very hot. V'tama parishna b'fregdil el shema yichata b'gchalim. Therefore, we're concerned because it will produce a very hot heat. So therefore, we're worried that you might stoke it to make sure that you've got that hot heat. Whereas if you've just fueled it with kashug vava, so it's never going to be particularly hot. You can poke it, but it's, you know, it's going to go out in 5 minutes, you know, in any event. Think about when you're making a barbecue, if all you've got in the barbecue is newspaper, it'll burn nicely for the first 3 minutes and then it'll go out. That's kashug vava. If you've got good charcoal there, okay, it will give you a really good heat for a long period of time. And if it starts going out, then you give it a bit of a blow or a bit of a push, and it'll carry on burning. So Rashi is concerned that it's mishum tosefet hevel, because it's very hot. So what you're doing by raking it out is you're making sure that it's not going to be so hot any longer. You're reducing the heat. And therefore, once you've reduced the heat, then you're not going to, we're not worried that Shema Yechate, because you've done the opposite. Shema Yechate is always going to be so that you'll make it hotter. You'll keep it hot. If you reduce the heat, by definition, you're not going to make it hotter. So Perish Bekuntras Mishum Tosefet Hevel. Ve'enir Eleri. Tosfot doesn't like this. Da'afilu Grufa Ktuma, Himosefet Hevel, Yotemi Kama Dvarim Hashunuyim Bebameh Tomnin. Because even if you've got something which was fueled by wood, then the whole thing is going to be very, very hot. The oven, the walls of the oven, is going to absorb a lot of residual heat, if you like. And the oven itself, even if you scrape out the coals, rake out the coals, this is still going to be a hot oven for a long time. We see that it's much hotter than some of the other things that are mentioned in the fourth parak by Meir Tomlin about Hatzmana. V'od Chananya Shari Lahashot, Af Kisha'ina Grufa. We'll see that Chananya allows you to leave things on an oven or on a stove, even if it's got not Garuf V'chatum. V'lo Asru Mosif Hevel, El Adavka Bahatzmana. Our concern is something which is Mosif Hevel only applies with Hatzmana, insulating. But leaving things on is permitted. Sheina Grufa Asrei Rabbanan, the Chananya, Mishum dilma ate lechituye. So our sole concern is one dilma ate lechituye. Perhaps you're going to come and stoke the coal. So both Rashi and Tosfot maintain that there's an issue of stoking the coals. That's what we're worried about. Shema yechata. Question is, what does garuf v'katum achieve? So Rashi assumes that if it's garuf v'katum, then it's not going to be so hot, and therefore you won't stoke the coals because you've done exactly the opposite of stoking the coals. Whereas Tosfot seems to think that it's more to do with you've made a heker, you've done something that just is going to remind you not to stoke it, and we'll see in due course an important nafkamina between these two approaches.
Can I just ask on that? Just for clarification, because perhaps I've got a certain understanding in my mind, and my understanding of being Shem Yechata B'Gecholim was, okay, if I have those coals sitting in the Kiro, and the temptation there is to poke them in order to increase the heat within the oven,
right,
and by so doing, speed up the rate of cooking so that the item that I want to eat will be available sooner. That's the fundamental thing, that by being gorof for cotton, you're removing that opportunity for poking and stoking and therefore speeding up the cooking process. Now, I don't understand which, if that understanding is correct, where does that fit within the context of Rashi's and Tosfos' explanation?
Well, firstly, there's a question. I understand your question. Firstly, there's a question as to garuf, whether it means removing all the coals from the oven or just removing some of them, stroke moving them to the side. And certainly with katum, where you're covering them with ash, or with ash or with dirt, whatever. So the coals are still there. They're just going to be covered. So you've still got that possibility of stoking them. So that's our concern. I put something on the stove. Either way, I've got something on the stove. If it's garuf v'katum, then I'm less likely to come and poke it. Either because, as Rashi said, I've done something which has made it cooler, and therefore, I've made it cooler, so obviously I'm not going to make it hotter, because I've actively made it cooler. Or as Tosfot say, I haven't made it cooler, but I don't need to have made it cooler. Okay? The point is, I've done something to remind me not to come and stoke it. It's really, I suppose, whether a machloket as to whether the garuf v'katum is just a heker, or whether it's actually undoing something. I mean, according to Rashi, once I've been garuf it, then there's nothing left there for me to poke at.
I guess my understanding is more my running. Pre-entering this year, my understanding, I guess, is more along the lines of Rashi.
Okay, right.
In the sense that by you removing the coals,
By removing the coals, then you're not going to be machata.
You remove the prospect or reduce Correct. Considerably the prospect or the motivation, let's say, to poke.
Well, also the possibility. Yeah, I mean,
around with those embers, so that you don't. So as to increase the temperature and speed up the cooking process.
Correct.
By putting them to the side, covering them with ash, doesn't have the same
ability. Yeah, 100%.
Not 100%. Necessarily that by doing it, it's...
Right, so Tosfot's saying something different. Tosfot's saying it's more Mishum Hekera. There's going to be something that's going to remind me not to do it. No, we will see enough Kamina much later when we look at the Tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein towards the end. Now, fundamental question, which you might well have asked till I said, don't ask any questions yet because we'll come to it. So, but the question that I would expect you to be asking in your minds is, what does it mean, not nimaleha tavshel? Or ein not loyitain? What does it mean, not zin or loyitain? When are we talking about? Are we talking about before Shabbat? Or are we talking about on Shabbat itself? Now, if we're talking about on Shabbat itself, obviously we'll be talking about something which is already mevushal. We can't be talking about something which is not, because we've established in Shin Yud Chet, I'm not allowed to cook on Shabbat. So, it's obvious I can't take on Shabbat a raw chicken and put it on the kira under any circumstances, irrespective of what it's fired by, because that would be bishul. So we have to be talking about a case where there's no bishul involved. But our question is, are we talking about on Shabbat, even though there's no bishul, there are circumstances when I can't put things back on? Or are we talking about on Erev Shabbat, when there's no melacha of bishul on Erev Shabbat? I'm not never chayav for doing something on Erev Shabbat. Nevertheless, I can't do it. So we're going to see this is an important machloket. So look at the Gemara. Ibailahu. So the question, just before we do that, just look at the first bit in Rabbeinu Chananel, down in the left-hand corner. Rabbeinu Chananel just tells us what the Kira is. The Kira, Shesi, Kira, Bekashu, Gavah. Kira, Zuhi, Makom, Shvitat, Beit, Kedeirot. And this is important. We're going to see there are three types of Mishnaic ovens. There's a Kira, which we're calling a stove, which is a rectangular box with space to place two pots on top. I should have really brought a picture or something like that, but there probably is in one of the books somewhere or other. Imagine this table is the Kira, right? So this table is the Kira. So it would have a cutout here, and a cutout there, and there's fire under, the fire is underneath. I've got space to put a pot there and a pot there, and there are three ways that I can put the pot. This is going to be important. Three ways that I can put the pot into this onto this Kira. I can either put it, lower it right down, and it can be sitting on the coals, or I can suspend it, have a metal bar there and suspend it by a chain, and it will be hanging inside the oven, above the coals, but inside the oven. Or if I've got a big pot, I can put it on top and it'll sit on the edge, or I'll put a grate or something like that across the top, and it'll be sitting on top of the oven. Okay, so that's the Kira. Okay, we'll then see that there's a tanur and there's a kupach. We're going to see that in the next Mishnah. But a tanur is both a tanur and a kupach are for one pot, but the tanur is conical, so it concentrates the heat, and the kupach is just square, but it's only got room for one pot rather than two pots. So it's important for us to be aware of what this Heilige Kira is. So by the question was asked, Hi lo yitain, what do we mean by lo yitain? Does it mean lo yachazirhu, that you're not allowed to put something back on the stove on Shabbat? Aval lishot mashin, but you can leave it there from Erev Shabbat without any problem. Afal pi she'eino garuf ve'eino katum, even though this kira, this stove, was fueled, powered by wood, so it's hot, but I've put it there before Shabbat, so it won't be a problem. Umani, and who would this be following? That would be following Chananyahi. Why? So, because what does Chananya say? To Tanya, we've got a brighter. Chananya Omer, Kol Shu Kamachal Ben Drusai, anything which is cooked Kamachal Ben Drusai. So Ben Drusai comes up in the previous perek. He was this bandit. We've got a machloket between Rashi and the Rambam, what Machal Ben Drusai is. Rashi says it's a third of Bishulo, and the Rambam says it's half of Bishulo. So anything which is cooked Machal Ben Drusai, Mutar L'Shalto Al Gabei Kira, you can leave it on top of a stove. Even though it wasn't garuf of a katum, meaning once it's cooked, kamachal ben drusai, it's not going to be a problem to leave it there. Why? Because presumably we're not worried that I'm going to be mechate b'gechalim. Why won't I be mechate b'gechalim? Because it's cooked kamachal ben drusai. Something which is cooked kamachal ben drusai is ra'u la'achil al yedei hadchag. If I'm pushed, I can eat it. So why would I want to break Shabbat when the food's edible? Even if my mother-in-law shows up and I need to feed her something, so no, I've got food which is ready. Whereas if it wasn't cooked kamachal ben drusai, so then we'd be worried that I'd give her the Jewish Chronicle to read and poke it around a bit, so tell her a few mother-in-law jokes, and by the time I finished, so it would be ready to eat. All right, okay, fine. Need to be careful what we say. Okay, so this is very important. This is Shitat Chananya. Shitat Chananya is that anything which is cooked kamachal ben drusai, you can leave on the stovetop, even though it's not garuf katum. So let's just think of this in a practical sense. I'm sure we've all been, faced on a Friday afternoon with the question, is something cooked kamachal ben drusai? Short winter Friday, everything's running a bit rushed, and the cholent only went up at 3 o'clock, and Shabbat's coming in at 3:45, and you're not sure, is the cholent cooked kamachal ben drusai or not? Okay. Now, if it is cooked kamachal ben drusai, then according to Chananya, you'd be able to leave it on the stovetop without a blech, and just leave it on top of the light. It wouldn't be a problem at all, so long as it's cooked kamachal ben drusai. Okay, that's a hot water urn. You need it over the you need it on a blech. Now, if it's if it was yad soledet when Shabbat came in, you don't need a blech whatsoever. We'll see that. Well, firstly, we'll have a machloket how we paskan. But just to understand what Chananya is saying is that so long as it's cooked kamachal ben drusai, no need for a blech. And we'll discuss in due course, I'm sort of jumping a bit, working on the assumption that we understand that a blech is the equivalent of garuf v'katum. But for our purposes, for now, we'll take it as a given. So that's option number one. Option number two is, or dilma lishot tanan. Perhaps the Mishnah is talking about even leaving something on the stove. V'i garuf v'katum in. It's only if it's garuf v'katum that it will be permitted. E law. And if it's not garuf v'katum, it won't be permitted. V'chol shekein lahachazir. And certainly in terms of returning it is concerned. So look at Rashi. Rashi doesn't really help us. Hainu Natan Efer ala Gechalim, to Efer Metakim and Kitzma. Okay, didn't want to look there at the Rashi. So what we've got here is we've got two possibilities. We've got, according to Chananya, the whole issue is one of returning it. That's the question. If it's when Shabbat came in, my food's cooked kamachal ben drusai, when Shabbat came in, I can leave it there when Shabbat comes in. The question is whether or not I can take it off the stove on Shabbat and put it back on the stove. And Chananya is of the opinion that I can only do if it's garuf v'katum. That's where I'm interested in garuf v'katum, in terms of returning something to the stove. And again, in due course, we'll learn about the tanaim, the circumstances under which something can be returned to the stove. Whereas the Rabbanan, who are arguing against Chananya, they're of the opinion that no, unless it's mevushal kol tzorko, you can't leave it on the stove before Shabbat at all. So unless it's mevushal kol tzorko, it needs to be garuf v'katum. If it's mevushal kol tzorko, then they'll hold that it's not a problem to leave it on a stove which is not garuf v'katum. But if it's not garuf v'katum, then if it's not Mufushakot Sorko, it needs to be Garafakatum, and definitely there are no circumstances under which you can return it. Okay, so this is really the machloket between Rabbanan and Chananya as to what this Mishnah is talking about. So look back in the Mishnah. Kira Shesi Kura Bakashu Vigvava, not Nimaleha Tavshil. Okay, when are we talking? Begefetu Eitzim Lo Yitein Ad Sheigrof Ad Sheitein Et HaEfer. So Ad Sheigrof Yitein Et HaEfer is the same, makes it the same as Kash Ugvava. Right, so our question is, what does it mean, not Nim or Lo Yitein? According to Chananya, we're saying that we're not talking about leaving it on the stove. Leaving it on the stove is not a problem, so long as it's Kumafa Kal Ben Jerusai. The question is, once it was on the stove and Shabbat came in, can I take it off and return it? That will depend on whether the stove is Garuf of a Katum. Whereas, according to the Rabbanan, that's not what we're talking about. There's no discussion here about returning. We're talking about leaving it there from Erev Shabbat if it's not fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, so then you've got the question as to whether or not you can leave it there, and that will depend on whether it's garuf v'katum. If it's garuf v'katum, you can leave it there. If it's not garuf v'katum, you can't leave it there. So it's very, very important to have that machloket clear. Now, how are we going to paskin? So the Gemara goes back and forth and brings lots of rayas this way and that way. And in actual fact, the Gemara doesn't come to a clear conclusion. The Gemara just brings rayas both ways. So we need to see in the Rishonim how we pasken. So if you turn to Lamed Zayin Amud Bet, I've marked about a fifth of the way down the page, Amar Rav Sheshet. So this isn't the final discussion, but it's where Rashi and Tosfot chip in, so it's of importance to us. Amar Rav Sheshet, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kira Shesi Kua Begefet Uva Eitzim. So we've got this Kira, and it was fueled by Gefet for Eitzim, wood, so it's very hot. Mashin Aleha Chamin Shelo Huchmu Kol Tzorkan. So you can leave on it from Erev Shabbat water that's not fully boiling, but tavshil shelo bishel kol tzorko, and a tavshil which isn't fully cooked. So it's clear thus far. It seems to be going according to Chananya. Okay, it's not fully cooked. You can leave it. Akar, if you've taken something off the stove on Shabbat, lo yachazir, you're not allowed to return it. Ad shi grof or ad shi tein efer, unless it's been raked out, or you've put efer there. I say unless it's been, meaning because you can't rake it out or put the efer there on Shabbat, obviously. So it would need to be a stove which has been, which is already garuf v'katum. So kasavar, so Rav Sheshet Amar Rabbi Yochanan clearly holds that matnitin lahachazir tanan, that the Mishnah is talking about whether or not you can return something. That's what the machloket's about. Aval lishot, but to leave it there from Erev Shabbat, so long as it was cooked, kamachal ben drusai, mashin, that you can definitely do. Afal pi she'eino garuf ve'eino katum, even though it's not been raked out in any way. So, Rava says, hold on a minute, why is Rav Sheshet telling us this? Tarvayu tanani, we've learnt both of these things already in Tanaitic sources. Lishot tanina, we've learnt the din that you're allowed to leave something on Me'erev Shabbat, even if it's not garuf katum, because we've got a brighter in the previous perek, ein notin et hapat betoch hatanur, you're not allowed to put bread into an oven im chasheicha, just as it's before it gets dark, v'lo charara al gabi gechalim, nor a cold cake onto the coals, ela kadesha yikrumu paneha, unless the surface of the bread will be crusted. Thank you. Ha karmu paneha, but if it's reached karmu paneha shari, then it's going to be permitted. So krimat panim with bread is the equivalent of machal ben drusai with food, and yad soledet with liquids, meaning telling us very clearly that once it's reached karmu paneha, then it's you can leave it in, even though it's not fully cooked. So So that's going according to Hananya. So I didn't need Rav Sheshet to tell me that something which is not fully cooked, but it is cooked Kumach al Ben Drusai, can be left on the stove. And Rashi points out that the stove is not garuf for katum. A bread oven is never garuf for katum. Lahachzir nami tanina, and the din about the circumstances under which you can put something back, we've also learnt previously, because at the end of the Mishnah we said Beit Hillel omrim af machazirin. Beit Hillel say you are allowed, at least under certain circumstances, to put something back on the stove. Va'ad kan lo kasharu Beit Hillel ela bigrufa ketumah. And Beit Hillel obviously are only permitting it with garuf of a katum. Aval b'sheina grufa ketuma lo. But if it's not garuf of katum, then it's not going to be permitted. So what is Rav Sheshet trying to tell us? So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshet nami diuka d'matnitin ka mashmalan. So Rav Sheshet is simply telling us, yeah, he's emphasizing, yeah, we can be medayik. Even the Mishnah hasn't necessarily spelt it out in the way that he spelt it out, but we can learn it out from the Mishnah. He's not coming to add anything. He's just really coming to clarify what the Mishnah and the Brayta have already said. Fine. Now, look at Rashi. Rashi Rav Sheshet Nami Duka Dumatnitin Ka Mashmalan. Mishum Dulomatni La Behedja. Seeing it hasn't been taught Behedja, very absolutely clearly, that Hakar Mushari, that if it's, if it's Karmapaneh, that if it's crusted over, that you can return it. Now he says, our minhag is, we leave a kedera on top of a kira, which isn't raked out. Provided that it's obviously reached to Machal Ben Drusa. Ad Chananya Samchinan. Oh, so we follow Chananya. Holutnan Stam Matnitin Kavate. Why? Because this Mishnah and Brayta fit in perfectly with Chananya. Kedamar ha-karmu shari. We've said about the bread. If it's karmu paneha, it's going to be permitted. Va'afagavdalo bishel kol torko, even though it's not fully cooked. Va'amar av sheshit mishmeidu Rabbi Yochanan kavate de matnitin de pirkin mishum chazara. And Rav Sheshet brings in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, like our mission at the beginning of this perek, teaches the din of chazara. Hu debai grufa. That's where you need it to be raked out. Afali short lo. And all the Amoraim who say that you can't, it's because they're following the other opinion. But Rashi's very clearly said to us, Ananda Mashinan Kedera Ad Chananya Samkinan. We follow Chananya, and because we've got Stam Mishnah, which would support the position of Chananya. This is also how Tosfot paskens. If you look at the Tosfot, Amar Rav Sheshet, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kira Shesikua B'Gefet Uv'Eitzim, Mashin Ale Tavshu, Shilu B'Shem Kol Tzoko, Pasak Rabbein Chananel, Talachak Rav Sheshet, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, that's Halacha follows Rav Sheshet, who's following Chananya. De Rava Da'ama Tavayhu Tananhi, Sphir Le Kavate, because Rava also holds that way. So, Tosfot's saying it a little bit differently to the way that Rashi's saying it. Rashi's saying simply because we've got a Stam Mishnah like that. Whereas Tosfot's saying, no, really because we've got Rav Sheshet and Rava who are paskening this way. But to return it is going to be Osir on Shabbat, even if it's Garuf Katum, V'afilu Bishel Kol Tzorko, K'deperish Le'el. So what we've got is, according to Rashi and Tosfot and Rabbeinu Chananel and lots of other Rishonim, Halakha follows Chananya, okay? Which means that so long as something is Mavushal Kol Tzorko, you can leave it on a Kira, which is not Garuf Katum, it's not going to be a problem, and you only need Garuf Katum in terms of Hachzara. And it's important to note that it also needs to be mavushal, or if it's not mavushal kol tzorko, then you can't do Hachsara if it's not Garuf Vekatum. Okay. So let's just look at the next Mishnah, just to sort of complete the picture a little bit, because it will become important when we go through the Shulchan Aruch. So Tanur, so what's the din about a Tanur and a Kupach? Okay, we've been speaking here about a Kira. So Tanur Shesi Kuha Bekashevig Vava. With the Tanur, Tanur has a very intense heat. So even if you heat it with only with Kashevig Vava, Lo yitain bein mitocho bein me'al gabav. You can't, there's nothing that you can do. Meaning, even if it's the equivalent of garuf v'katum, you can't use a tanur on Shabbat. Kupach, shesiku b'kashu v'gvava hare ze kechirayim, b'gevet v'eitzim hare hu ketanur. So, the kupach is somewhere in the middle. If it's been fired with kashug vava, then it's like a kira, and you can use it as you were. You can, according to Chanan, you can be mashe on it. According to the Rabbanan, you can be machzer, etc. So harid kray, but gefet uva eitzim harehu ketanur. But if it's been stoked with gefet for eitzim, then it's like a tanur. And there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, we'll see. This is just to complete the pictures we see in the Shulchan Aruch. But in actual fact, we'll see that the concepts of Tanur and Kupach aren't relevant to us. Now, if we look at the Ran, want to look at the Ran, the first Ran. We don't need to go through all of it. Let's go from which is the last wide line at the top of the page in the Ran. So you're covering the gechalim with efer, with about a third of the way in, the fourth line from the top in the Ran. Got me?
Yeah.
So you're cooling down the coals. Kach pirash Rashi zal. That's what we saw in Rashi. Lefishu mufarish zeha perek af pahat mana. Rashi says this perek is also referring to hatmana and also to shehiya. Dechol shegaruf katum sura le she'eno mosif hevel. Once it's been raked out, then it's not mosif hevel. That's the point that we establish with Rashi, that it's you're cooling it down, and once you've cooled it down, obviously you're not going to be mechate big chalim. The chen katav baharbe mekomot bahalacha. That's what the Rashi says in a number of places. Katav harazal levi zal. She sio Rashi zal lefarish kein. Why is Rashi saying this? So he's quoting the Bala Ma'or. Mipnei shera'a peret kira ben shtei hatmanot. Okay, because he found the Parak Kira is between two issues of Hatmana. Okay, issue of Hatmana, Sof Bameh Madlikin, which comes at the end of Perek Bameh Madlikin, but Tchilat Bameh Tomnin, the beginning of the next Perek. So Rashi's trying to make things, align things. For Lo Nehira, the Ran and the Baal HaMa'or don't like this. The Hayach Eshel Shekira Ketuma Eina Mosif Itavel. How can it? It's not true that a kira katuma, if you've raked out the kira, that it's still not, you know, increasing the heat. Rashi said, why can't you immerse and insulate something in something which is mosif hevel, something which makes the thing stay warm or get warmer? Because we're worried that perhaps you'll put it in remetz, in ashes. Remetz is efer hamu'urav b'gichalim. What is remetz? It's the efer, it's the ashes mixed together with the coals. Alma afal pishenatan ha'efer, mosif hevel. So even though you've got efer there, it's mosif hevel. So garuf katum isn't really going to cool the oven down. The chein hu vadai shaharemetz mechamei metatzonin. If anything is heating something up, by definition, it's mosif hevelu. The kevon shekein heyachesha dechinatane teefet ahavinatina kol dehu kumoshen afarish besamuch dishmiach dishmaya. So remember, he's saying that notene teefet. This is a point of machloket in the Rishonim, but the Ran is saying notene teefet means you don't need to totally cover all the coals so you can't see any poking through. Just means scattering a covering, a dusting of ash on top of them. How can you say that's not Mosif Hevel? But two daraminam bikmara de gchalim amumot hara hen kechira ketuma. Bevadai de gchalim amumot Mosif in Hevel. If you've got glowing coals, they're not burning, you can't see a flame, but they're still glowing. They are Mosif Hevel. Tvei miremetz elavadai ikaran shel devarim kediv Rabbeinu Hai Gaon, Rabbeinu Ephraim Gaon. This is the proper way to understand it, which is also what Tosfot seemed to say. Shvish tahacha lo ari bahatmana klal elachgon shakdeira yeshevet hakisei shel barzel v'chayot sebo or sheituluya ba'avanim. You've got the kedera in the oven. She'ein shulei akdeira nogim v'chalim u'mishum hachi kol shegaruf v'katum. Once it's been raked out, the ika hekera, this is the important thing. You've made a heker. You've done something to remind you. Shemasalek da'ato milachtot begechalim, that you're now not going to be to stoke the gechalim. Shari, it's going to be permitted. In terms of you've done something that is going to prevent you from soaking. It hasn't necessarily made it any cooler. But you've put something into place which is going to make it harder for you to be stoke the gechalim. Or maybe it's just a reminder so that when you come to stoke them, you'll see, hold on, all right, you know, I've got that there. Now I mustn't do this because it's Shabbat.
You don't have to go crazy with covering it properly, as long as it's a hacker for you to remind
so you. So it would seem. We'll see more momentarily. Okay, so that's the first important ran. Now, look in the... In the riff though, so he says the penultimate line. Bailehu aylo itein lo yachazirhu aval lishot mashin afal gav sheinu garuf einu katum matnitin chanan yehi or dilma haylo itein means lo yishehu baafil lishot igaruf katum in v'ilo lo. It's only, you know, it's a din in shehia and it needs to be garuf katum. Uflige de chananya and the rabbanan disagree with chananya. The Shaklinan Vitarina, and so the Gemara comes back and forth, Umaskana, de lo yitain, lo yishehu. What does lo yitain mean? It means lo yisheh. You can't leave something on the stove from before Shabbat if it's not garufakatum. Vafil lishot, even just to leave it there, I garufakatum in, ve'ilolo. If it's garufakatum, fine. If it's not garufakatum, not fine. And certainly, as far as returning it is concerned, you wouldn't be able to do it without it being garufakatu. And it seems that this is the maskana that we've paskin like the Rabbanan. Later on in the Gemara, it asks, Mahu lismochla? Are you allowed to place something close to the kupach, not in the kupach, but adjacent to it? Tochav gabahu da'asur. Maybe it's inside it or on top of it that's prohibited. Aval lismok shapir dami, but to have it adjacent would be all right. Or dilma loshna, or perhaps actually it doesn't really make a difference. Umid da'amrinan tochav gabahu da'asir. And seeing as we say, well, it's definitely osur to put it inside the oven or on top of the oven, shaminan da'asur lishot al gabay kira she'ina gruf haktuma, then it's clear that it's prohibited to put something on top of an oven which is not garuf hakatum. So he brings lots of rayas for his position, and the Ran goes through all of them and examines them, etc., etc. But certainly the Rif paskens like the Rabbanan. If we look in the Rambam, that's also how the Rambam paskens. Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. So the Rambam says thusly. Ketzad tavshil shelo bishel kol tzorko v'kamin shelo huchmu kol tzorkan or tavshil shelo bishel kol tzorko v'chol zman shemitztameku v'yafelo. We'll come on to this. We'll look, hopefully, possibly on Tuesday, the Gemara, which talks about if it's mitztamek v'yafelo. We've touched on that in Shin Yud Chet as well. The point is it's still cooking in some way. Ein mashin oto agabe ha'ish b'shabbat. You can't leave it on the Eish, on Shabbat, if it's not Mavushal called Tzorko. Gezeira Shema Yechate Bichalim Kedela Hashlim Bishulo or Kedela Tzomko. Because we're worried that you will stoke the coals. Naficha Achim Garafa Eishol Shikisa Eishakira Be'efer or Bin Oret Pishtan Hadaka. Therefore, if you raked out the coals or you covered them, or the coals have cooled down, sharein kim chusot be'efer, which is the equivalent of them being covered, or shesikua bekasho digvava, or you've stoked it with something which is not terribly powerful, or biglali behemadaka, sharein sham gechalim bo'arot, harizim utali shot aleha, then you would be allowed to leave stuff on it. Shahare hisiach da'atom izeh ha'tavshil, because you've had hesech hadat, ve'en gozrin shema yichate ba'esh, and we're not worried that you'll be a machate, that you'll stoke it.
Slightly more than a heker.
So yeah, exactly, more than a heker,
but perhaps more
akin to Rashi really than the Tosfot, or it might be a third position, but exactly. We've got Rashi, which is saying it's cooling it down. We've got Tosfot, which says that it's a heker, and we've got the Rambam says it's hesech hadat. So hesech hadat might be either because it's cooled down, or it might be simply that once you put efer on top of it, you can't stoke it anymore. So it's going to be harder to stoke it. You've done something which has shown that you're leaving it there till tomorrow. That's the important. I'm not in any rush to get this cooked. I don't know if it's cooling it down, as Rashi says. But I've done something that this is going to slow down the process. And you know when it's cooked for tomorrow, by tomorrow it'll be cooked by tomorrow, and that's great for me. But it's not going to be ready for me tonight. But in any event, what we're seeing is that the Rambam also paskens like the Rabbanan. So we've got Tosfot and the Rif. Sorry, Tosfot and Rashi on one side, and Rif and Rambam on the other side, which will give us an insight as to how we can expect the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama to paskin. Now, because this is all so seminal, I'd like us to go through the summary in the Beit Yosef, which you've got on your front page. So look at the Beit Yosef. So, Kira Shia Suya...
Can I just saying... Talk about two elements here. There's one about whether or not it applies to Chazara or just Shahia,
mm-hmm.
and then also whether or not it's called Sarko or just to Machal Ben Drusan or equivalent.
No, they link in with each.
I understand, but if I said that the only issue where there would be a Gorf, according to Hananya, am I correct in saying that the only scenario in which it needs to be Gorf for Kotel is if it is not Bishel called Sorko and you're returning it.
No, or if it's not Mavushal Kamachal Ben Drusai and you're leaving it.
That's what I mean. I'm saying it was it hadn't yet reached Machal Ben Drusai and you're returning it. That's
no. No. According to Hananya, if it's not reached Machal Ben Drusai on when Shabbat comes in, it needs to be on a it needs to be Garif
Katov. So Rav Sheshes would say that there's two scenarios in which there needs to be Garif Katov. It needs to be either that you're returning it, even if it's called Sorko,
mm-hmm.
Or if you're leaving it on, but leaving it on is shahia, but it's not yet reached Malchut.
Correct. You could say it a different way. The chiddush of Chananya is that once it's reached Machal Ben Drusai, you can leave it on without it being Garuf Katun. That's the way I would want to say it. That's, if you like, the big chiddush of Chananya.
I'm just trying to understand. I'm just trying to be clear in my mind. What are we saying is the scenario? What's the pinch point that is? What's the pinch point scenario, which is where what Hananya says is at odds with what the Rabban says?
Oh, that's quite straightforward. If it's Mavushak and Machal Ben Drusai and Shahia.
That's two separate elements.
No. Meaning, if it's cooked to Machal Ben Drusai, Hananya says, you can leave it on without Garuf HaKatum, right. And the Rabbanan say that you can't. Right. That essentially is the test case.
So that's the scenario in which the Rambam and the Rif would say, like the Rabbanan,
that you can't.
Garuf HaKatum, otherwise.
Correct.
It doesn't work, okay? Whereas Rashi and Tosfos seems to be saying along the line,
correct,
of Hananya, that it's okay.
Correct. 100%. Yeah. They'll both. Everybody will agree. There's a point at which there's a way that which you can do hachzara. You know, everybody will agree. Minimally, everybody will agree that if something is if it's garuf katum and it's mavushal kol tzorko, then you can do hachzara, right? With certain conditions built in, which we'll see in due course. Yeah, so that everybody, in terms of you've got certain extremes. Okay? If it's not Mavushal Kol Tzorko, if it's not Mavushal Kamachal Ben Drusai, then everybody agrees you can't do Shahia unless it's Garuf HaKatum. And if it's Garuf HaKatum and it's Mavushal Kol Tzorko, then everybody holds that obviously you can do Shahia and also that you can do Hachzara under certain circumstances. Question will be, if it's Mavushal Kamachal Ben Drusai, whether or not you can do Shahia. And then there'll also be, within that, you know, there'll be a Hachzara question as well, in terms of, if it's Mavushal, for Hachzara, everybody agrees that it needs to be Garuf HaKatum. Yeah, everybody agrees that it needs to be Garuf HaKatum for Hachzara. Yeah. So, now let's look at the Beit Yosef, which I think will also help it come clear. And the reason why I want to go through the Beit Yosef is because this is also fundamental. So, Mishnah Reish Perek Gimel Dumsechet Shabbat Kirash Shisiku Abakashu Avig Vavan Notinan Atavshil Begefet Uva Eitzim Loitein Ad Shigrof Ad Shitein Ita Efer Umafarish Bigmara Dekira Humakom Shvitat Shteik Deirot Vibaylan Bigmara Hai Lo Yitein Lo Yachazir Hu. So we're chazering what we've really seen. Chazering, not hachzering. So I suppose we should say. So, Hai Lo Yitein Lo Yachazir Hu Avalishot Mashinan Afa Pishenu Garuf Vakatum Umani Chananya. Hey. Right, so the only question is about Hachzara. Okay, it needs to be Garuf HaKatum for Hachzara, but not for Shehiya. The Chtanya Chananya Omer Kol Shukum Machal Ben Drusai Mutar Lishoto Agabe Kira Sheinu Grufa Ktuma. Chananya says, once it's Machal Ben Drusai, you can leave it on a Kira which is not Garuf HaKatum. Or Dilma Lishotnan. Or perhaps this whole requirement of Garuf HaKatum is even to leave it there when it's cooked from Achal Ben Drusai. The Garuf HaKatum in, Ilolo, and you can only leave it there, provided it's Garuf HaKatum. Chol Shekein LaHachazir. Certainly you would need it Garuf HaKatum for Hachzara. V'shaklinam tarinam bishmatin tuva l'mishta l'bayan v'lo asikna midi behedya. The problem is that it's not made clear at all in the Gemara what our maskana is. And then he brings Rav Sheshet Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kira Sheshikua B'Gefet Uva Eitzim Marshin aleha chamin shelo huchmu kotzorka, and v'tavshu shelo bishel kotzorka. But if akar, then lo yachazir al shigrof al sheitein et efer. Kasava matnitin lahachazir tznan. Avalishot mashin. So it's clear that Rav Sheshet holds that you can leave things on it. Even though it's not garuf v'katum, and right, and so that's Chananya. The chatav harif mistavra to maskana to bayan to lo yitain lo yishehu. So the riff says, and we saw this in the riff, that it's going like the Rabbanan. That what does it mean lo yitain? It means shehia is asor. Without it being garuf v'katum, even if the food has reached machal ben drusai, v'afilu lishot e garuf v'katum hu in e lo lo. Why now? Why does he come to this conclusion? Taha Rabbi Hoshav Rabba Baba Chana Hachi Svira Lahu Vevi Kamarayot Demochekhe to Maskana Gemara Hachi Havi, because he's got various Amoraim who hold like that, and he brings various proofs from the Rif thinks that that's the Maskana of the Gemara, but the problem is that it's not spelt out. And you can say, okay, he's got Amoraim who think that way. But Rashi and Tosfos have also got Rav Sheshet and Rabbi Yochanan who think a particular way. Say, okay, he doesn't hold with them. And then the Ran says that the Balama or Satako Rayotav, Chen Katav Harosh. Okay, so that they reject the Rif. Miu Katav Sharabinu Yona Tirtzan. So it's back and a whole back and forth. V'shedata she'iltot v'Rabinu Yehuda Barzaloni in the Sefer Itim Kedat Harif. Right, so we've got basically, there's no Dat Yachid here, and there's not even an overwhelming opinion one way or the other. Hilkach aso lishot agabe kira she'ina grufa or ketuma tavshil shalonit bashel kot sorko or shinit bashel kot sorko and ashim it's tamek v'yafelo. So he's passing it, no, unless it's fully cooked, you can't leave it. Ve'im hi grufa ketuma mashin ala kol davar ben shebishel kot sorko ben shelo bishel kol shekeim it's tamek v'yafelo. So long as it is so cold day today. So long as it is mavushal kotzorko, sorry, if it's as long as it's garufakatum, then you can leave anything on it. Even if it's mitztamek v'yafel, or ikar gzera til ma'ate l'chituyi b'chalim hi, because what's the whole sugi about? A concern that you might come to stoke the coals. Okay, avan shi grufa k'tuma nekelemeichash laha milta. You don't need to worry. V'chein das haramban v'arav ha'magid shekein das haramban. Right, so a whole swathe of Rishonin who hold like the Rif. However, Aval Rashi Samacha Hada Amar Rav Sheshit Amar Rav Yochanan V'amai Desai Rava V'chatav Sham V'anan D'mashinan Gabe Kira Shein Grufa Ada Chanan Yesamchinan Holutunan Stam Matnitin Kavate. Exactly as we've seen. I only bring it just because it's will be all at odds. And sixes and sevens in the sugya when we see the Shulchan Aruch, unless we're really clear on this distinction between the Rabbanan and Chananya. Oh, it's nan stam matnitin kavate kedamrin hakar mushari. V'amar Rav Sheshit made Rabbi Yochanan kavate de matnitin de pirkei mishum chazara hu dubai grifa avalishot lo. V'chein katav katav haran b'shem Rabbeinu Hai v'atosot b'shem Rabbeinu Chananel. Right, so we've got actually plenty of Rishonim hold like Rashi as well. So the Rav HaMagid, the Magid Mishnah who told us previously that the Ramban holds like the Rambam, he's also telling us that the Rashba holds like Rashi. So I don't know if it's equals, but the point he's making is that we've got a lot of people who hold like Rashi and a lot of people who hold like the Rambam and the Rif.
I guess the way Paskin and the Chaver, goes according
we to haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen any Mechaba yet, so let's not talk about the Mechaba.
I see. We see the rush, the reef, and the ash before
us. Okay, no, generally speaking, you're right. The Mechaba will follow the majority out of Rosh, Rif, and Rambam. So yeah, we will expect... We will expect the Mechabe to Paskin in a particular way. We will expect that. The Chataf HaRosh, you'll be sure, this is very fascinating Rosh. Uvishvil Sherabu HaDeot B'Hai Piska, V'Yisrael Adukim B'Mitzvot Oneg Shabbat, V'lo Yishmu L'Hachmer, Hanach Lahem B'Minach She'Nagu Al-Pi HaPoskim K'Chananya. So it's not entirely clear what the Rosh really wants to Paskin like.
Maybe he wasn't comfortable with Chananya, but he said because people...
So this is the question. Is the Rosh saying that we're Paskining like Chananya? Or is the Rosh saying, it's very interesting, you know, the way he's formulating it, in terms of, he's formulating it in the sense of, Adukim b'mitzvat oneg Shabbat. So is he saying that tongue in cheek? Oh, you know, everybody needs their cholent, right? Or is he saying, no, in actual fact, we take on Oneg Shabbat seriously, and therefore, because we take on Oneg Shabbat seriously, and it's not on Oneg Shabbat to be sitting cold or eating cold cholent, we'll paskin like Chananya. But it would seem essentially the Rosh is Hanach lahem b'minhag shenagu v'lo yishmu lahachmir. Hanach lahem b'minhag shenagu. But the Rosh is certainly endorsing the position of Chananya, bearing in mind that many Rishonim hold that way.
Adukim
stuck to, cleave to. Lahadeg. So I don't want today to look at the Shulchan Aruch.
My extension would be, I think it's reasonable for us to assume that given that the Rif and the Rambam asking like the Rabbanon, we would expect the Shulchan Aruch to go that way. But equally, would it be reasonable to perhaps assume that the Ramah would say,
I mean, that's what we'll see. With a few hesitations here and there on both sides. Now, what I'd like us to finish off by doing is actually by looking at the Tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igrot Moshe. It's very important about the question of what is what's the status of our ovens? Our ovens, are they Tanur
or
Kiraim? But how should we understand Garuf Katum? And that will understand, but dependent a bit on what we saw in Rashi and Tosfot.
It's applied to hot plates also.
We'll get on to hot plates in due course.
I mean, you would just...
At the moment, I'm interested in an oven. I'm not interested in a hot plate for now. We'll get on to it. Don't worry. We'll have three or four shiurim on this at least.
I guess, in my mind, and I thought you'd actually described the Karayim in a way that
right.
I'd always thought of the Kiraim as basically it's like a stove that you put the pot on top, not that you would put the pot immersed within the heat, which is obvious. Like if it was a smaller pot, it would go in the hole,
right.
Which is where you could see sort of like the combination, but because it's a bit of a combination between a stove in modern day terms, which would be where you sit on top and the heat's underneath it, and a more immersive.
Yeah, well, really, it's a question of oven and stove and, you know, what the relationship between all of them is. So let's look. So, Simon Tzadik Gimel. It's in Chelek Aleph, Simon Tzadik Gimel. B'davar tanurei hagash shebim midrash seder. We're not going to go through all of it, but there's some. Sha'olam nogim hetel ishot. So the minag is that you, we are mashe on it. Shenistrakta im yesh lahen din kira o tanu. So we need to understand what it is about a tanur that makes it a tanur. It contains the heat much more than a kira does. It's It's going to the whole thing just gets really hot, and if you take the coals out, it'll still be hot. There'll be a lot of residual heat in this tunnel. Lachin leka hekeira mimashe gorif kotem shemasalik darto milachtot begichalim. So that there's not really a heker if you rake out the coals. Afim itzarik lemaher abishul. Right, what we've seen, we saw in the Ran, is that the notion of raking out the coals is going to mean that you can't speed up the Bishul any longer. But the point is, in this Kira, it's very, very hot. So it seems that you can. Then came the Tanush, Shekevan Sherov Chumo, Efshar, Sherov Chumo. Seeing as it's still hot, ofshar shagrifa vaktima shoseh, humishum sheyare shelo yakdiach tavshilo. Maybe the only reason you've raked it out is because you don't want the stuff to burn. Buribui haish. Va'eno hekesh hu machmat shemesalek dato milachtot. It's not showing that you're mesalek dato, that you're not going to try and make it hotter anymore. Afilik sheet starik lemaher habishul. You haven't done anything. Basically, the point he's saying is with the tanur, it's very difficult to bring it to a point where there's no way that it will get hotter without you being mechate. But by being goref kotaim with the tanur, you haven't really achieved anything significant. You haven't, you know, it can still cook very quickly, and therefore you might still come to be mechate. Achuk shelahu tahanicha biktima afal begrifa. Once you've raked out the coals, naishen heker akol panim hayishach klal lachtot. You've got nothing left to poke around with. Okay, with Ketima, you know, the coals are still there. You've just covered them. We're worried that perhaps you'll come and do the same thing with Akira. That's what we're concerned about. So it's Gezeira Tanur Atu Kira. Ayin Shambara. So that's what he thinks is the problem with a tanur. That basically a tanur is always going to be really hot, whereas the kira won't be really hot. That's the fundamental difference that he's.
Can we say nowadays that there is even? I mean, what are we talking about here? When we talk about, let's say, an oven.
Well, so just let's go through and then. Then your gas stove.
I'm just thinking about whether or not if you turned off an oven,
right?
That oven, even if you keep the door closed,
yeah,
it's
going to lose heat. It's going to 100%. So we're going to see so that he's going.
When you talk about Gorf Gottenburg, that you could be shoving it to the side, like you said, it could be not.
No, so this is the point that he's. Yeah, you're 100%. Focusing on the point that he's going to make, that a tanur doesn't lose heat rapidly, and our ovens do lose heat rapidly. That's the point. He's going to come to the conclusion that our ovens have a din of Akira, right. even though you know our oven can get very hot. Okay, but you know you think about a pizza oven in a classic, you know. Pizza, you know, that will be hotter probably than the oven that you've got at home. Well, think about a matzah baking oven, you know, really, really hot. Matzah's in, matzah's out. You try and do that with your oven at home, even if you turn it up to 400 degrees, you know, you're going to end up with chametz. V'harambam lo nichele b'tiritzam, k'mo she lo nichele l'haran. Sham lachin tiritz b'feri gimol, mishum she'i efshar ligrof kol ha'esh, v'i efshar she'lo tisha'er nitzotz achapt, Uvatano shehev lo cham yesh lachush lechishtui, af benitzotzot. The kira shehev la muat lotit chamein benitzotzot muatim, v'neikach ein lachush lechishtui. So the Rambam says it a bit differently. The Rambam just says that the Tanur is much hotter than the Kira, and therefore you're more likely to come to be Mechater as opposed to the Kira, because the Kira is a bit of chitu, it's not really going to help so much. V'imkein hu shayach rak b'tanur shederach ha-bishul v'afiyahu harbeh pa'amim b'ktima o'grifa. So according to what the Rambam's saying, at least, Tanur is, you know, oftentimes, what is it that's going to be, how you're going to be cooking? Okay, you're going to be cooking, even though the fire's gone out, but you're going to be cooking with the grifa ktima. Even though it's garu fakatum, you'll still be cooking. And with the tanur, and actually once it's garu fakatum, you can still be chote, effectively. And therefore, we're going to be machmir on the tanur. You cover it, so that's a very, very good heker. So he's saying that a blech is a good certainly according to the way the Rambam and the Ran are understanding it, then covering our stoves will have the din of a kira, and once you cover it, that will be the equivalent of garuf vakatum. That's either because you can't, it's a good heker that's going to stop you being garuf vakotem. Primarily that. And it's not a derech bishul. So he says it won't quite fit according to Rashi. Ach l'shita Rashi d'viktima shemuta b'kira hu mishum d'eina mosefet hevel v'hu g'deperish haran d'tamo sh'afshe l'sha'ato mosef hevel mikom ha'kom ha'ema mot v'holchot ein shayach zeh b'tanu reha gaz. Says the problem is going to be according to Rashi, because Rashi says the point of garufakatum is that it reduces the heat. Of course, putting a blech on doesn't reduce the heat. So how are we going to get it to fit according to Rashi?
Is that true that you wouldn't? If you stick a blech, a metal sheet on top of a stove.
Isn't that like the ashes covering the heat
from a direct flame onto that pan is going to be less than when you put that blech, because that blech is still creating a barrier.
I don't think that's true over the course of time. I think you've got a blech there. I turn my stoves up on high. So yeah, it's going to take a while till the blech's heated up so much.
But I'm just saying it takes the edge. The point being that it takes the edge off.
It might take the edge off, but it's not significantly cooling it down, which is what garufakatum, will do. Especially as with a stove, so fine, you'll always turn it up a little bit higher because you've got the blech on it.
No, but that's also the point. The point is that blech also has to serve as a function to cover the hob, the knobs.
That's what we're going to come on to. But the pashta, certainly according to the Rambam, that's not going to be necessary. According to the Rambam, that's not going to be necessary. So, okay, that's his question, is that how's it going to work with Shitat Rashi. So then he goes on to the whole discussion of, and we haven't got time, I think the security wants to close and we want to go, preferably in the other order, but he goes on to discuss what is really the concern here. That is the concern that I'm going to turn up the gas, right? Or is it that, what's the concern of turning up the gas? Concern of turning up the gas is really a concern of adding more fuel. That's not chitui. Makes a distinction between
that's worse, surely.
Well, it's worse. It's worse. Well, I don't know if it's worse. In actual fact, it's Mavi in both cases. Yeah. I don't know that it's worse. But he's pointing out that there are different concerns. He makes the observation that Chazal were never concerned that you'd add more wood.
Concerned
that you would add more wood. Mm. They said, presumably by the oven, you always had a pile of wood. You never added more wood, but that wasn't what they were concerned about. They were concerned about a lesson. Chitta, it's not such a big thing. You just poke it with a stick. You think that's not such a big thing. People aren't going to, we're not worried that you'll add more wood. Right? So we're not worried necessarily that you're going to turn up the gas. That's not our concern. Our concern is Shema Ichata, and you don't have really Shema Ichata with our oven. So that leads into the question as to whether or not you need to cover the buttons. So he's concerned that lechatchila you should cover the buttons. But if you don't, it's not absolutely necessary. We'll summarize this again, I think, on Tuesday, this Rav Moshe. But it's important for the understanding there of really what's going on, and the machloket between the different ways of understanding what Shema Yechate is all about, and what the problem is with a tanur. Okay, so Adkan.